Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does destroy, nor where thieves do not break in and steal. Now notice, in that day also, when Jesus spoke about where thieves break in and steal, their walls were built out of bricks and mortar and so forth, but often thieves would break in. Rather than, it was easier for them often to move a loose brick in the wall in order to break in rather than go through the door. So it was very difficult for them to put their money under their mattress, as many of people have done in the past, and some still do. But thieves would break in and steal. And again, Jesus is saying, don't store all that stuff up here on earth. There's no reason for it. Use it down here. Now, why? Because the things that we use for spiritual things should connect with the natural. And you'll notice that's one thing God spoke to me. God reminded me of that again this morning when we were praying. That at one point, Debbie and I were praying. This was years ago. I can still remember, we were sitting in the living room. We were sitting on a Chesterfield, and we were praying together. And suddenly a tongue and interpretation came. And the interpretation was, be careful to make sure that you make the connection between the natural and the supernatural. And I think that's one thing you and I have to be careful of, to make sure that whatever we claim that we gain in the supernatural, in the spirit realm, it better make a difference in the natural, or there's no connection being made. And it's really, it doesn't have any relevance in our life today. And I suspect that the connection that we thought we made in the spiritual is not really as great as we thought, if it's not influencing the natural. Are you with me? Be careful to make the connection between the natural and the supernatural. There were many who would try to be spiritual apart from the material realm. I like this statement. The real Christian tries to be spiritual through the material. So the saying goes, he who finds spirituality in the outward is more spiritual than he who finds spirituality in the inward only. In other words, you're not that spiritual. If you just go say, I went to a prayer meeting and God came upon me and I spoke in tongues and had interpretation and I had all this kind of thing happen in this meeting. It was just wonderful. The presence of God was there and all the rest of it. And then you go home and you act like a dog in your home. No. That, you know how much that means? Zip. Doesn't mean anything if it doesn't make the connection in the natural realm. If somehow you don't bring that over into the natural realm where that affects you, it influences you so that what you got in the realm of the Spirit can be poured out through you. And we know that what we receive in the Spirit is carried by love and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We must make that connection. The outward must be regulated by the inward, but the outward must be demonstrated, or the inward hasn't taken place. Really. A change on the inside hasn't taken place. So how we treat others, how we use our time spiritually. Or let me put it a better way. How we use our time and how we treat others is a spiritual matter. Everything is a spiritual matter. In Jesus' message, when all the people were gathered around Jesus, there was about 5,000 of them, and Jesus said, these people are hungry. We have to do something. So he said, ask them what they had for food, and they had a few loaves of fish fish and a few loaves of bread. And so Jesus got his disciples together, and he said, he blessed the food, and then he told his disciples to go and distribute what they had. And as they went and distributed, something supernatural took place. A multiplication of the loaves and the fishes took place. Something very spiritual happened when the food was multiplied and a few loaves and fish fed over 5,000 people. The Bible says 5,000 men. There could have been many more than that. So we would all agree that something spiritual and something supernatural took place when the disciples went and passed the bread around, wouldn't we? We'd agree that something from the kingdom of God took place there. Okay, after everybody ate, After everybody had their fill, after they had as much as they wanted, then something else happened. Jesus said, now go and pick up the leftovers. And so the disciples went again and picked up 12 baskets full of what was left over. Now, I want you to understand this. The transformation or the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes that fed the 5,000 was supernatural and was a spiritual thing. When they gathered up the leftovers, this was no less spiritual. This was a work in the natural. This was no less spiritual than the miracle of the loaves being multiplied. Why? Because Jesus said, go and do it. Obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ is a spiritual matter. And it doesn't make any difference if you're preaching the gospel or washing the floor. It is a spiritual matter when Jesus says, do this. And the instructions that Jesus gives us to live by are spiritual issues. Therefore, they are all a spiritual matter, whether we obey or not. You and I have been given instruction of how to live the principles of the kingdom of God out. So it's all a spiritual issue. And everything that happens, what we would talk about in the in the spiritual realm, must influence the natural. It must. Unless it's no value. It's no value if it doesn't. You and I just kind of move along and we do everyday stuff and we don't even consider it a spiritual matter. I know when I get up in the morning, it's a spiritual matter. When I come over here and what I do with my time is a spiritual matter. When you get up in the morning and you go to work, it's a spiritual matter. How you treat your people, your peers at the workplace is a spiritual matter. It is a spiritual matter. Remember, God sees all and he will reward those that he sees in secret. Those things that you do in secret, he will reward that. So no matter where you're at, he knows and he will reward. Now, what does it mean then to make... Oh, well, let's read another scripture before we go any further. In verse 21. Oh, verse 20 first. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus is saying, don't store up treasure on the earth because that's where your heart's going to be. Your heart's going to be in the things of this world. Your heart's going to be on the things. What's the next greatest movie to see? Your heart's going to be on the idols that are on the television. Your heart's going to be on sports. Your heart's going to be on this. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on the earth, because along with the storing up of treasures on the earth comes the other earthly desires and influences. So make sure that we store up our treasure in heaven. Now, what's the best treasure that we could store up in heaven? What is the thing that we could bring or store up in heaven that would bring us exceeding great reward? What is it? Souls. I'm convinced of it. Now, there may be other things, but I'll tell you, I believe souls is number one. Number one. Do not store up things on the earth, but things in heaven. Notice in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon. You could say you can't serve God and things of the world. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry, principle of the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, if you're going to operate on kingdom principles, you must not worry. If you're a worrier, then do something about it. Do whatever it takes to get away from that worry. Because the scripture says over and over again, do not worry, do not worry. Do not worry. Do not be afraid is another one. Those are things that are to be vacant in the kingdom of God. Do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? In other words, don't worry by saying, what are we going to do to meet our bills? What are we going to do? The answer, and I'm not, we have to do everything we can in order to, you know, pray and believe God for our bills to be met, but we're not to worry about them. We're not to worry about, and in some cases, this will mean don't get yourself into a place where you're having a difficult time to meet your obligations, because you got to work harder at not worrying that way when that bill is coming at your back. Verse 32, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom. Seek the new social order first. Seek first the kingdom. When I think of the kingdom of God, where it relates to where we live, I think of Prince Edward Island being transformed. When I think of the demonstration of the kingdom of God, I think of kingdom of God principles being functioning in our government. When I think of the kingdom of God upon Prince Edward Island, I think of an environment of heaven, that the environment of heaven could come down on Prince Edward Island and influence every man, woman, and child on Prince Edward Island so that they'd be prone to shun the evil and embrace the good. That's what I think of when I think of the kingdom of God coming. Seek first the kingdom. And this is what God is telling us. Seek first the kingdom. Now notice that does not say, seek what I need first. It says, seek first the kingdom. So we must put God's priorities before ours. God desires to advance the kingdom. The kingdom. Not my life. The kingdom. God desires to see each and every one of his subjects doing what they can, first of all, to advance the kingdom of God. Not second, not third, but the kingdom. Now, well, obviously I better skip by some of my notes. We must find the first importance in our lives. Everything must give way to demands of the kingdom if we're true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything. And some of us think that we are so busy that we can't put the kingdom of God first. That is a lie from hell. That is a lie from the devil. That is a lie. I notice that every single one of us has the same 24 hours. Not one person has 25 hours a day. Well, you could argue about yesterday. But there's not one person that has more than 24 hours. And we all make a choice what we're going to do with that 24 hours. We all need to put the kingdom of God first. Now, I want to relate to you just a couple of things concerning the priority of the kingdom. You see, for the kingdom of God to be established on Prince Edward Island, there has to be an ingathering of souls, because without subjects, there's no kingdom. And when we talk about increasing the kingdom of God, the influence of the kingdom of God, we must talk about the increase of the subjects of the kingdom. So we're talking about souls coming into the kingdom of God. We're talking about people receiving salvation. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. I've prayed for wisdom for our church for years, for myself, but also for our church. Many, many times I've prayed that prayer over our church in Ephesians Father, grant them, on each and every one, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your perfect will. I pray that over and over and over again, that we might be a wise body of believers, that wisdom from heaven might prevail over us. And the Bible says that the evidence of a wise person is their soul winners. He who wins souls is wise. Listen to this in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Again, talking about the wisdom of winning souls. That's because there's nothing more valuable than a soul. That only makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, so many times we spend all our time trying to, seek money and finances and so forth. But yet, God says the greatest commodity that it could ever be is the soul of an individual. He who wins souls is wise. Matthew 4:19 says, "And then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" In other words, your occupation of fishing fish is going to have to change, because I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to cause you to become a fisher of men, because men's souls are much more valuable than fish. John 4:36, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice." In other words, let me read this verse first. Verse 35. "Lift up your heads and look at the fields. They are already ripe unto harvest." This is, of course, talking about a scripture about reaping the lost. "And he who reaps receives wages." Realize that there's wages when it comes to receiving, taking men out of darkness and into the light. There's actually, there's a reward. It's like wages. There's reward. We may not receive the kind of wages that we're thinking about here on earth, but glory to God, when we get into heaven, I'm telling you, something's going to take place. There are things that are going to happen. We are going to be so absolutely amazed at the people that we bring into the kingdom of God, the people that we've influenced. Isn't it something that when you come to a place where a person comes up to you and say, "I so thank you for telling me about Jesus. I'm so thankful," even when it comes that you did something nice for them. And somebody says, "I'm so thankful you did this for me. I'm so glad that you took the time to do this for me." And it might be one person, it might be a dozen persons. But there's something that touches on the inside of you when you actually see that you really helped somebody. I wanted to play a clip right now. And this clip is about an individual who actually saved quite a few children in the Holocaust. And he's meeting some of them for the first time. But I want you to get a sense of heaven. I want you to get a sense now of what could take place. Heaven, when you get there. And there could be some people that you have influenced to get there. Think of what could happen. Think about being in this position. Go ahead, Rob.
Back here is the list of all the children. This is Vera Diamant, now Vera Gissing. We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton. And it was just so wonderful. So terribly, terribly touching. Can I ask, is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please?
How would you like to be in that position when you were responsible for saving people, when you were responsible for bringing the message of life to somebody else, and you got to heaven and there was a group of people around you that they started saying, And the Lord said, is there anybody here that Bill Arsenault influenced to come into the kingdom? Is there anybody here that Mona Bryanton influenced to come into the kingdom of God? Is there anybody here that Roy Sibbles influenced in coming into the kingdom of God? Would they stand up, please? Can you imagine? What about, is there anybody here that because of this person's prayers came into the kingdom of God? Is there anybody here that came into the kingdom of God because this person decided to take time to pray? Pray for your soul, that you wouldn't be lost and going to hell. What an awesome reward. What an awesome experience that would be. Just that this man, he was so surprised when he looked around all the people that he kept from going to the gas chambers. He was surprised. He didn't even realize. Probably a lot of them certainly didn't realize that they were even there. That probably was maybe in the last thing on his mind. Suddenly. Stand with me, please. Jesus, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, God. Father, we know that the Apostle Paul made much of his calling in life. He said that Jesus appeared to him and told him that he was going to show him all the things that he had to go through in order to pluck the people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of God. Lord, we realize there's no less calling upon us, God, today. We're asking, Father, Lord, that there might be granted unto us the grace of having a passion for the lost, of having a passion for storing up treasure in heaven, having a passion to see people delivered and set free. God, I ask you to pour that out upon us in the name of Jesus. That we would be so stirred in our spirits, God, that we couldn't help but pray. And God, as we gather here this week to pray, we're asking for the angels to help us. We're asking for forces of heaven to help us to pray out the things that you would want us to pray out, God. And I ask, dear Father, that there would be an obedience according to your word acted upon, Lord, that it be an obedience acted on that would shift things in our environment, that there would be a change take place so that those difficult times that we've had in prayer in the past would become free-flowing prayers, that it would be, we would sense a sense of freedom and a sense of being driven along by Holy Spirit, a sense of you praying through us in order to shift our environment in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask, dear God, that you would put upon each and every one of us individuals to pray for, specific individuals that we would take on, we'd begin to pray for them, pray for their salvation till we see them come into the kingdom of God. Lord, I ask you to change us. We can't do it on our own, God, but we do know that you have power put on the inside of us. You put it there, God. I ask that you would demonstrate that to us. I just want to share with you one thing before we worship. This morning in the prayer room, Krista told us about a vision. Or a dream. It was a dream that she had. And in that dream, she was sitting in a room, and Robbie was there, and some of the her family were there who weren't saved. And she was blowing up a balloon. And as she was blowing up the balloon, she blew it harder and harder and harder, and then the balloon burst. And when it burst, she sensed in the inside of it a joy coming, and she started to laugh, And she laughed and laughed, and the other people in the room started laughing. And it was brought joy to them. And this was such a wonderful demonstration to me that just as she blew, the air that she blew into that balloon came up out of the inside of her that was already in there, and it produced something that released joy in the room. You and I carry, there's some things on the inside, there's something we carry on the inside of us that has been put there by the Holy Spirit, that as we release it, it is going to bring joy and deliverance to people around us. And just as it takes natural effort to blow into a balloon to get it big, I know it sure does me. I can get halfway through and I'm getting kind of all dizzy, wondering if I'm going to make it. But just as it takes effort to fill that balloon to the point where it explodes, so it takes natural effort for you and I to get out of us what's on the inside. And once we work up our muscles, spiritual muscles, to be able to do that, it'll become a breeze. It'll just flow out of us. It'll just flow out of us, and then it will influence others around us so that people will come into the kingdom of God. People will be delivered and set free from the powers of hell, from the powers of darkness, from the powers that's keeping them locked up in addictions, in strife, in hatred, in bitterness, and in unforgiveness, in oppression, depression, sickness, and disease, all the rest of it. Because I'm telling you, folks, there's some of us who are going to press into this in order to pierce through the darkness. And when we do, it is going to open up an avenue so that many would be able to come in without the effort that you and I had to go through in order to make it happen. And the question today is, are you willing to be a part of those people who will break through, who will cause the breakthrough to come to pass? Are you willing? Father, we worship you now. We praise you, Jesus, our King, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Our Master, our Redeemer, the one who is and who was and the one who is to come, the one who's here today. We praise you, God, and we thank you for the power that you have imparted to us and put on the inside of us, God, in order to release your glory upon the earth. And God, we praise you for that now in the name of Jesus Christ. We worship you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. Father.